They sashayed into my office like a puff of cigar smoke, asking questions, always asking questions.
Avi?
Avi. I haven't heard that name in a while. What do you need? Avi said, her head covered in cigarette smoke.
Why are you narrating?
Because we've been framed, Carl, and we've got to figure out who dipped our pants in the mustard.
Okay, well, we have an episode to run. Can you get me the tape?
Oh, sure thing. Hold on to your socks.
Thanks? You should get some sleep. I'm No Expert, an Indiana University Media School podcast.
Before we start, for the people listening, please introduce yourself.
My name is Lisa Major. I am an associate professor in the Media School at Indiana University, and I'm here to talk about framing, I think.
Fantastic. And for listeners at home, if you haven't guessed already, both me and our lovely guest, Professor Lisa Major, are both massive nerds about media and framing. But before we really proceed and like really dig into this, I think we should first talk about, like, what is framing?
There are lots of definitions, but for me, I think of framing in terms of news coverage and also of media messages. This can be visual as well as text. It's about what is in the message. For instance, just mentioning visuals, talking about text, it has definitions that refer to problem definition, solutions, and how that information is presented to the public. We think of it in terms of sources who are interviewed, and also it has to do with what's not covered. And it's not propaganda. That's one thing. It's not this is about accuracy and how information is presented to the public in order to inform them.
Beyond the dictionary definition, can you give us sort of a concrete example that, say, college students encounter?
Well, I was thinking about health. If we were to talk about, I think COVID would be a good example of thinking about coverage of COVID, that we might find a story that talks about, the problem, what the problem is, say if people are not getting vaccinations, if people aren't paying any attention to it much anymore. If there's a new variant, that would be discussed as what's causing the issue. And then you might also see that the coverage includes what you've talked about the problem. Now, what's the solution? Do we need to – we don't have enough vaccinations, or we don't have people who have access to information. And that would be, just a how we could cover it. It could also be covered in a way that says that if you get the vaccination, you're going to be healthier. It could also be covered in more negative terms about what's going to happen if you don't get the vaccination.
Pretty much every interview that I've done, especially with I'm No Expert, we talk about a given topic in media. And often one of my biggest questions is this good or bad? Is framing as a tool, is it good or bad, or is sort of a gray area?
That's a good question. I remember we talked about this when we did the pre-interview. I don't think of framing as a bad thing. I guess I probably don't even think of it. I mean, it could be, I think, a bad frame if someone is doing something that I think could be hurtful, that's not accurate in terms of the information provided. I think framing is just a natural part of, well, it's a natural part of our world. I mean, but that's, as I said, a different discussion. But it's a natural structure in the way that you have to think about the information that you're including to tell the story. And I think reporters, if we're talking about journalism, have the best intentions of trying to be accurate in terms of what they're reporting. But they're only, I mean, you have only so much space, only so much time. And so you've got to think about, okay, what is the way to tell this story that I think of it as it's going to get the information to the public in the best possible way. And so including, and sometimes, I think we talked about this before, sometimes the source you use is the source that gets back in touch with you. I mean, and I always, in talking, it's very interesting to talk to academics about framing and to talk to reporters about framing, because many reporters I've talked to about this, I mean, they know about it, they know that they're doing it, but I always thought it was interesting to hear them say, but there's not this, there's thought about what's the best information to put in the story. There's not this information about, oh, let me think about the framing and whether this was, you know, they're trying to do the best that they can. And so I do think that it, we've talked about bias, that I'm not one who thinks that there's such a thing as objectivity in news. I think we all have our own, you know, our bias about certain things, and the what you need to do is own that and be aware of it. And so I think that the personality of someone, or, you know, how they want to tell that story, I think they're making a decision about what is the best information, what information can they get their hands on, what is accurate in terms of what they can use, you know, how do you support this, how many sources do you have on this. And so I think that's what I think about framing, is that it's in its best definition or act, it's about trying to get the most accurate information to the public, and also I think information to the public that's going to help them make decisions. I always think of it that way too, is what does someone need in order to make the best decision about something.
And the reason I bring up sort of this gray area mm-hmm. is that bias within news has been like a major topic lately. And I'm wondering if you could provide an example of sort of, I guess in my notes, I called it unethical framing.
I think that would get into what we're talking about with framing and misinformation, disinformation, about that it might get, could get close in there, that you, a bias, I mean, perhaps we know organizations, news organizations can have a political bias. And so they might frame things in terms of that bias, where you might see that something might be more conservative, something might be more liberal. And I think that how information is presented that way, and I think the public is very sensitive to this, and how you present that information, if you're not careful in how you do it, could go a direction of the public thinking that, okay, there is an agenda here, and the agenda is not getting accurate information to me. It's an agenda that wants me to think about this in a certain way. And, I mean, framing is, I mean, there's another theory, agenda setting, which I'm sure you know about that, and that's how the media can set, especially news media, can set the agenda for, you know, what receives the most coverage. Then the public will think, okay, well, that is a big problem if it's they're seeing lots of coverage of something. And so the saying is that, you know, agenda setting tells the public what to think about, and framing tells the public how to think about it. And there's some truth to that. The idea, though, is that getting, you know, hoping the public will think about something, you're hoping that you're giving them the most accurate information to help them think about it. Mm-hmm. And so I think when we stray from that, we get into issues where we can see something that's unethical.
What was your most recent work, most recent research?
Right now I am on a project looking at the unhoused and policy, and just studying how the public responds to the episodic and thematic and visuals, of looking at visuals that would be operationalized, as we would say, as stigmatizing or not stigmatizing, and how that visual interacts with the story and how that impacts the audience in terms of what they think of the information that's in the story. Yeah. Mm. So I have a real interest. That's gone through a bit of my work, but that's more of the social determinants of health, of looking at, you know, where people live and their housing, how much that impacts their health, And so thinking about policy and how that can, you know, what can we do in terms of covering that better, presenting that information to the public in a more effective way.
Is that research still ongoing or is it done?
Yes,
it's still ongoing.
Still ongoing.
When do you plan to finish?
Well, we'll finish one of the first part of the study will be done this coming week. And then there's a second part will be done.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. And then there's another part that will come the next month. Yeah.
And I know it's early, but have you learned anything of note quite yet?
Yeah, in terms of the pilot research, what we're seeing is that the images have an impact on what, I mean, which is not surprising, I mean, because we know about visuals, but that the photo, the images, the image that is non-stigmatizing really did help in terms of the public understanding the policy and how that relates, and that the stigmatizing had the opposite effect in terms of that's what we have so far. And that's early days, though, that the evidence supports that visual is very important.
So in relation to framing, what is a stigmatizing image and a non-stigmatizing image?
You would think of something that if it's stigmatizing, it's a stereotypical type of, say, an individual This particular, we're talking about race in this particular study, and if it's a stigmatizing image, then it is a negative, stereotypical kind of image, as opposed to something that is non-stigmatizing, that presents individuals in a, I would say, in a much more positive type of situation.
Mm-hmm. And can you give us that example you were looking at from that pilot research?
Well, we're looking at in the unhoused work. We one of the policy that we're discussing in the story has to do with a program that is using Medicaid for housing. That's actually paying. You know, people can get safe housing using this funding. And so what we are showing here is someone who is – and it's also a work program – who's actually working in their program at their position, as opposed to something that would be stereotypical, perhaps a street scene of perhaps paraphernalia or something like that. Those are the – what we're talking about in terms of stigmatizing and non-stigmatizing. And, you know, you study all of this to see whether the public, you know, in your pilot about finding out, you know, do they think that this is stigmatizing? Do they think this is not stigmatizing? And so, yeah.
So what are you hoping to accomplish with your work?
Well, that bigger, you know, that goal of, trying to create, to do research that can help people who, reporters, health communicators understand how they can present their information in a more effective way for to the public, that leads the public to action, you know, civic engagement, to maybe support a policy that's going to have, you know, bigger, be able to create change in a larger way.
Finally here, the show is called I'm No Expert. You're the expert, clearly. But aside from,
I don't think that's I understand it. It's a good title, but I'm going, I don't know. You know, you're always going, I don't. That's one of the things to say. That's not my area. So, yeah.
I guess we are no experts.
Yeah.
but finally, what is something you are an expert in? Not necessarily related to media. Like I might say, I'm an expert in baking and petting dogs. I am certified. What is something that you're an expert in that people don't know?
That they don't know. I am an expert in petting cats and dogs. I've had quite a few of both in my lifetime. I wouldn't say that I'm an expert, but I'm a gardener. And I love to garden. So I read everything that I can and practice everything that I can. And so I am passionate about it. You know, I'm passionate about it. And so, yeah, I wouldn't say expert, but I'm definitely, I love gardening. Love to get my hands in the soil. Then my father, who's also an academic, he told me that a long time ago. He says that was one of the best ways to, in terms of stress, is that you need to put your hands in the soil and grow things. And it's, I am to this day so excited when I grow things from seeds and see that first, you know, bloom. It's just Yeah, when they're coming up, it's just so exciting. That never changes.
Thank you for listening to another episode of I'm No Expert. You can find us on Spotify by searching IU Media School and follow along with what we're doing by following at IU Media School on Instagram. We'll see you soon with another episode.